Have you ever thought that many times we can't get used to something that is not good? But we decide to keep it stored there in our mind and in our heart. Maybe it's a memory, maybe it's a thought, or a way of seeing life, an attitude, or certain objects that we decide to keep, to have stored in that room in the house, where we consider that at some point we can use, but we really know deep inside that we never will. So this leads me to think that sometimes we can also get used to certain ways in which we live life, or we can get used to certain attitudes that are not good at all, and they can be very toxic. And we live in a vicious circle where those attitudes are manifested over and over again. And we adopt them as part of us, even though they are damaging our lives. I think that as human beings, this happens to us repeatedly when there are situations that we know are no good. We know that they are harmful to our health, but we go ahead and we keep doing them over and over again, and we end up adopting something of our own. This is also the case for some people who have been accustomed to pain. Maybe they have also become accustomed to being naturally around problems or surrounded by problems. I have known people that the only problem they have is that they got used to being troubled. And the day when they no longer have a problem, that day it seems that everything is peaceful around them, but somehow they start feeling uncomfortable. It's as if they were missing something, so they start looking for ways to produce a situation at home or at work that makes them uncomfortable, and this sadly becomes their daily bread. It becomes a necessity. They become dependent on taking back what they should have let go of. They become dependent on criticism. They become dependent on anger. They become dependent on the need to be angry. And they become dependent on the need to be upset about themselves or upset with others, which is a very sad behavior, and it's a very harmful atmosphere, an atmosphere that is not good, not for them, not for the people that surround them. So they look for a moment of anger, they look for a moment of discussion, of argument to close the day. And they struggle to let go a smile. And this has happened to many of us, maybe. We go without realizing that we are getting used to these behaviors, to this troubled heart and this troubled mindset. Just as we might have got used to keeping what is not necessary in our house. And even worse, to keep this clutter in our hearts. So today I am reading a word, and I was meditating in today's devotional on how important it is to learn to let go in such a way that after we let go, we will not take back what we have decided to give up. we will not go looking for what we have already decided to let go. We will not love ourselves and make part of, won't make that part of our lives. We won't make part in our lives something that is not right. And what God said that you should let go, then you will surrender it to Him to be free. Because we can complain to God because this or that keeps happening. But we have to begin to understand that the problem does not come from God or from heaven. We have to begin to inquire how our heart is. I'm going to give you some simple examples, and I'm going to base it on what happened to a man who decided to do something that God condemned and that should not have been done. And I believe that history repeats itself over and over again because we ignore the advice and we decide to live life according to what we consider to be good. And when we realize it, when we realize in the end, it's already too late. Because the Bible says, there are ways that seem good to man, but their end is the way of death. So a simple example that I could give you is like when you have a relationship and God tells you, you need to let go of that relationship. Because it's not good for your life. Because you got used to the mistreatment. You got used to being treated harshly. And you keep complaining all the time. But when God tells you that you need to let go of that toxic relationship, then you make that decision and you finally do it. So it produces a detachment, and the detachment will hurt, yes, very much. But on the other hand, when you don't let go completely, you start to remember that person, you go on Facebook or you go on Instagram and you start to search for him by name, and there you find him. You realize that this person continues to live his life, but unfortunately you still anchor in his life. You anchor yourself in the past that you lived together, or you anchor yourself in what he did to you. You anchor yourself in what hurt you, and you go back and remember. And you lend your ears to listen to the gossip that comes in your family or from that person's family. And then instead of closing that process and allowing God to heal you, you begin to worsen the wound and to heed the whole heart. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I'll put it this way. It's how to clean your house, how to do a deep cleaning, to clean your house well and take out several bags of rubbish. And you put in the rubbish what you consider that has already been used up and that no longer serves you and that is no longer useful. And it would just pile up and then you can take up that space that you could use very well for other things. So you take out the rubbish, you take it into the corner of your street and wait for the rubbish truck to pass by and take it away. But then you go home and you start to remember. You start to fill yourself with guilt and say, I kind of don't want to let go of that yet. So you go back to the rubbish bin and you start searching, you start rummaging, you start searching and searching, and you take again what you gave up, and then you take it to your house again. The Bible mentions a man called the Apostle Paul, and in the book of Galatians in chapter 2 verse 18, he gives a very simple phrase that I want to go a little deeper into and talk to you in reference to what I am telling you. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 18, he says, "Rather, I am a sinner. If I build up again the old system of the law that I have already cast down." Okay, so why does he use this expression? Because he is speaking to a community, to a church called the Galatian church, who received Christ, who received the forgiveness of the sins. They were called to freedom, but now they wanted to go back to a system of laws. They wanted to submit to an emotional and spiritual slavery to maybe feel good about what? That if God would answer them because they were making sacrifices and they were doing their part, then they thought that by doing this they were building back something that they had already given up. That was something that was already broken down. It was something they were trying to rebuild, something that they had already thrown to the ground. And that was the system of laws that condemned. And they had left aside what grace was, that gift, that salvation. They had left aside what Christ did on the cross to go after their own sacrifices. And this made me think a lot about the attitude of the human being. How many times we leave aside the gift of God to return to the past and return to the same thing over and over again. As the grandparents used to say, the donkey returns to the wheat, right? Jesus expressed it in this way: do not throw pearls before swine. Because many times you wash the pig, you bathe it, you clean it, and in the blink of an eye, it returns to the swamp from where you took it to get dirty again. So Jesus used a stronger expression, and forgive me for saying it because it is quite graphic, but this is how many times we decide to let go of the news of God, the good news of God, to cling to the past, to the toxic, to yourself, to your old self, to just hurt yourself. You don't realize it, but if you listen to this advice today, I ask the Lord to open your eyes so you can see. And Jesus said it this way: many times we return to the past and take back what God has already set us free from, like the dog that returns to its own vomit. And that's how it is. Everyone who has had a pet, everyone who has had a dog as a pet, you will have noticed that when a dog vomits, he doesn't leave his vomit there. He eats it again. And isn't that the same thing that we do when we revive those wounds of the past? When we want to hold on to something that God said you must let go of. When we allow our mind to become a video game for Satan, where he constantly doesn't bring those thoughts that we should have let go of, and that we just have them there
indulged in. And we just have them there giving us more thoughts of bitterness, hatred, fear. Oh, look what they did to me. Look what they have done to me in the past. And it seems to feed us. And instead of experience true peace, we are not at peace. So we need to bring those thoughts back to the cross. We mustn't get used to the pain. We mustn't get used to the strife. It's not normal. And it's definitely not God's design. I have another example, another story about the people of Israel, led by a man named Joshua. God gives direction and an order to Joshua. He says, the first city that you have to conquer is going to be Jericho. Jericho was a big city with big walls. God gives him the strategy and gives him the order. Destroy Jericho. But tell your men that when they go, go straight ahead and do not get distracted, nor take anything from the city. Destroy everything if it's necessary. And Joshua did exactly that. They destroyed Jericho. And finally, Joshua says a few words and says, cursed is he who rebuilds this city. He shall rebuild his foundations on his eldest son and on his youngest one. In other words, God commanded to destroy this city so that it would not rise again. But the story goes that later, many years later, a man arose. He didn't know the story. He didn't know about the curse. Or he maybe chose to ignore it because his desire was stronger. Because Jericho is located in a very good position. So this man suddenly thought about Jericho. Well, I have the money and I have the way to rebuild it. This city is very important, so I'm going to do it. Maybe some people will have told him, but look, this city has a curse. Anyone who rebuilds the city will be cursed. So they should not rebuild the city again. But this man said, I don't care. I don't believe in that. But guess what? The curse was fulfilled in that man who decided to rebuild Jericho. And you know what? What God was telling me, you need to learn not to rebuild what God has already undone. Don't hold on to what God told you to let go of. Why do you want to suffer anymore? If God has called you to freedom, why do you want to live as a slave? Don't go back. Stay confident in the Lord. Don't rebuild Jericho. Simple words, but very strong. Don't rebuild Jericho. Don't go out looking for what you have already thrown out. Enjoy the new things that God has for you. This man rebuilt Jericho. His older son died and his youngest son died too. I ask myself, at what price? What price do you want to pay? To what consequences are you willing to go to learn this lesson? At what point will you finally wake up until you realize that there's nothing else that can be done? Until you realize that you have lost everything? I want to ask you this day, how far are you going to go with all this game that you're playing? The game that you're playing with that woman that is not your wife, or with that man that is not your husband, or with that rebellion against your parents, or with the money or the things that you're stealing at work, or with the double life that you're living, that on the Sundays you worship the Lord, and on weekdays you go out and get drunk and you do your own thing. How far are you going to rebuild Jericho? When God said, when God called you not to rebuild what He had already destroyed, don't go back to your old life, my beloved friend. Don't expect history to repeat itself over and over and over again. Because that's what the cross of Christ was for. Because the cross of Christ marked the end of our vain humanity, of our fallen humanity. It marked the end of our sin on the cross. And to the end, the cross does not rehabilitate. The cross marks the end of the old, but it opens the door for us to rise to the new things that God has, to a better life. Let me tell you, to the best life, the life that comes from Him. So I ask you, why to go back and go back to the life that is not for you, and to the place that God took you out of, where He set you free? Because you want to rebuild what was already nailed to the cross? You want to take it back? Because you want to take down from the cross what the Lord has crucified there? We have not learned from history. We have learned nothing from the past processes. And we need today to remember again where the Lord took us out from, so that we don't ever go back there. Father, I only pray at this time that this word will be understood in every heart, and that we may remember that You have called us to be free. Father, help us let go completely. Oh Lord, take us out of that pain that perhaps we have grown accustomed to. Please, Lord, break those chains, and may we experience the freedom that comes from You alone. In the name of Jesus, I thank You, Lord. Amen and amen. Today, this message was brought to you by your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. Blessings.